text that Brother Bill read for us this morning, we want to use as a text to introduce our topic and our study and our lesson today. It is a text where Jesus is talking with the 12, with the apostles. And I'll take note right now, there is a bulletin article about the 12 that will have further information that goes along with what we're talking about in the sermon this morning. I encourage you to take the time to read through that as well. You can take or leave the extra notes down after the article that come from some guy named Dan, but they might be helpful to you, so you might take the time to just peruse through them anyway. But we want to talk about the authority of the apostles this morning. The text that Brother Bill read for us, I came up on in some of my readings over the last couple of weeks, and of course we've been doing some lessons talking about authority over the past month or so. We talked a good bit about the authority of Jesus in reference to the last few verses of the Sermon on the Mount chapters in the book of Matthew just about a month ago, and I thought it would be good for us to continue this idea by looking at where Jesus handed down authority, and this passage talks about that. He said, I assign to you kingdoms, like my Father assigned a kingdom to me. That's an idea of passing authority, not giving His authority to them. He still has His authority, but He also gave them authority of their own under His authority. And that's using the word authority a whole lot more in a sentence than I usually do, but it's the idea of being authoritative in your actions and in your teachings. And one of the reasons for looking at a lesson like this is I hear comments from time to time and have been hearing them a little more frequently over the last couple of years. Well, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't teach that. Or more specifically, what I've heard is Jesus doesn't say anything about homosexuality. Because generally these kinds of phrases have to do with sexual immorality. Either marriage and divorce, or adultery, or homosexuality, those sort of sins are things that this is brought up more often than not. And it's the attitude and idea that was expressed many years ago when I was a young fella. I only pay attention to the red letters. And while a red letter edition of the New Testament is a great tool in helping us see what Jesus said, it doesn't tell us that Jesus' words are the only ones we're supposed to listen to. And I hope by the time we finish this lesson this morning, you will have grasped that idea. Actually, I hope you already have that idea, and I'm pretty sure we all do. But we need to recognize that Jesus authorized others to teach all men. He left authority in the hands of the apostles. We know that because Scripture tells us that they were sent by Jesus. And these Scriptures are not in the order that I'm going to read or quote them. They're kind of in occurrence order of the New Testament. But it was the easiest way to get them up there where they made sense and not make the text so small you can read it. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 13, Jesus called His disciples and chose from them 12 whom He named apostles. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, He went up on the mountain and called to Him those whom He desired, and they came to Him. And He appointed 12 whom He also named apostles, so that they might be with Him and He might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. And of course, in Acts chapter 1, the first two verses of the book of Acts that Luke writes as a second volume, so to speak, of his story of Christ in the church, he says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day He was taken up, after He had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom He had chosen. These men were chosen by Jesus for this work. And Jesus sent these men out to preach the gospel, the word of God, the message of salvation to all mankind. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. You've heard those verses before, right? Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I have all authority. Now, because of that, I am sending you out to preach my word. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Those are complementary passages. They talk about the same event, the same thing happening, and it is Jesus sending His apostles out with authority to preach the gospel. And we read in verse 20 of Mark chapter 16, "They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs." And I can very easily see that verse as being a summary of what Luke writes in the book of Acts. Because it's exactly what Luke describes in the book of Acts, is them going out and preaching everywhere and the Lord working with them and confirming the message by signs and wonders. They were sent out to preach the gospel, but they weren't just sent out to speak. They weren't just sent out to say these things. They were sent out to command these things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, "If anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things that I am writing to you are a command of the Lord." Paul says, "I speak the commands of the Lord." Jesus told Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. You remember the context there. Who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And again in Matthew 18 and verse 18, we hear a similar statement. "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And I mentioned both of those verses because in the context, we might begin to think that Matthew 16 verse 19 is only for Peter. He's the only one that had binding and loosing authority. But in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18, we recognize that it has to do with the apostles who Jesus sent out to command men to be obedient to God. They had the right to bind and loose. Now, if you go looking in your commentaries or study Bibles, do any kind of research regarding the Greek, what we have there is one of those tenses of the Greek term. And basically what it boils down to, based on the authorities in Greek, is he's saying what you bind will be things that have been bound in heaven. It's not that Peter was saying, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then heaven agrees with Peter, but you're going to bind things that are in agreement with what comes to you from heaven. Peter didn't have authority to make laws, but he had authority to enforce the laws of God. And I think that's the import of that passage for us. They were given authority by Christ. They were to speak with a voice of authority and the voice of command. Not suggestions, not pretty good ideas, but command. That's the kind of authority that they had as the apostles of Jesus Christ. Jesus even goes a little further by telling us, or telling them, and by telling them, telling us that they are His representatives. And how we receive them reflects on whether we receive Him or not. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, "We are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Paul says, I speak for Christ. I speak what Christ has told me to speak. When he wrote to the Ephesian brethren and asked them to pray for him in the close of that letter, he said, I'm an ambassador in chains. And the prayer that I want from you is that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You've been given the responsibility to speak boldly the word of God as an ambassador of Christ. Now this idea of receiving, Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 and 41. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Do we receive the word of the apostles? If we don't, we're not receiving the word of Jesus. These passages tell us that the words of the inspired men of the New Testament Scriptures, in particular, the words of the apostles, are to be understood as the words of Christ, who spoke the words of God. We've studied in John how Jesus said, the words I speak are not mine, they are the words of the Father who gave them to me and who sent me here. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus says, the one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. When we reject the words of the apostles, when we say, well, Jesus didn't say that, only Paul said that, we're rejecting the words of the apostles. And therefore, we're rejecting Jesus. And when we reject Jesus, we reject God. These are, if you want to put that on it, these are part of the words in red from Jesus. Jesus in his own language and teaching tells us, listen to my ambassadors. Truly I say to you, John 13 and verse 20. Actually, that's one of those truly, truly, or verily, verily. I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. There's three different gospels recording Jesus telling us, listen to the ones I sent. And he sent the apostles. They have authority because they were sent by Christ. And when we receive them, we receive Christ. They also have authority because they were there. Or maybe I should say they have power to their testimony because they were there. They were eyewitnesses. When they chose someone to take the place of Judas, well, first off, they didn't choose. They left the choice up to Christ himself because Christ selected the 12. But in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, Peter says, so one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness of his resurrection. And they put forward two. Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. He became one of the 12. He was chosen by Christ. But he was chosen based on the fact that he was an eyewitness of Christ. He saw Jesus. He heard Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He saw the Christ after he had been raised from the dead. From the baptism of John all the way through to him being taken up from us, as recorded in Acts chapter 1 earlier. Now, there are some that would say, well, you've been talking all about these 12 apostles and you've mentioned Paul a time or two, but how does he fit in this? Well, let me tell you, in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 9, Paul is making his defense before Agrippa, and he says, I was bad. He says, I was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He goes on to say, I did this in Jerusalem. I locked up many of the saints in prison. I received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I punished them in the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. I persecuted them with raging fury, is the phrase the ESV uses, even to foreign cities. In connection to that, he says, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than the sun that shone round me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you. Paul was an eyewitness of Jesus after his resurrection. He was an eyewitness of the power and authority of Jesus, and he was selected by, chosen by, and appointed by Christ himself. If you go on and continue reading in that story, you find that Ananias in the city of Damascus, who Jesus called to go and heal Paul, questioned. And Jesus says, I have many things that this man will do for me. I have work for him to do. You go do the work I gave you to do, is kind of the import of what he's saying. And so Ananias went and Paul was baptized. And we know the experience of the Apostle Paul. We know what he did, how he lived, and what he taught. They experienced the teaching and ministry of Christ himself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord? And in chapter 16, verses 4 through 9, he talks about the gospel that he had preached to the brethren in Corinth. And he said, I preached to you about how he died on the cross for our sins, how he was buried and was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul was an apostle appointed by Jesus, and he saw Jesus after his resurrection. He experienced Christ. Maybe not in the exact same way that John talks about in 1 John chapter 1, when he talks about that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we've seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But Paul experienced Christ. He received his commission from Christ and he saw Christ. But John here tells us that they walked with the Lord. They talked with the Lord. They handled the Lord. They heard the Lord. They saw the Lord in all the things that he did. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mount, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Peter says, "We were there when God spoke from the clouds and said, 'Listen to my Son. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him.'" We speak to you from first-hand witness. We also want to make note that they were instructed and inspired. And I think this is something that adds to our understanding about their authority. Jesus taught them. In Matthew chapter 17, we have the very event that Peter was just making reference to that we were reading just a moment ago, the Transfiguration. And you remember that event. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them to a high mountain. He was transfigured. Moses and Elijah were there talking with him, and Peter spoke up. Imagine Peter speaking up. Peter spoke up and said, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. He was the only one left because he was the authority they were to listen to. But that's the context of Peter saying, "We were on the mount. I spoke up with what I thought was a great idea, and God shut me down and said, 'No. You only listen to Jesus.'" "I understand that now," Peter said. Maybe. In Luke chapter 22, beginning of verse 28, Jesus said, "You are those who have stayed with me in my trials." You've been with me all the way. All of those discussions we've been reading and studying about in the book of John. All the things that Jesus had to deal with when he was at the various feasts and festivals in Jerusalem, and when he was in Galilee, when he was in Samaria, the various things that he had to deal with and he took care of. "You were there with me in my trials, and I assigned to you." There we get that phrase that we heard this morning. "I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom. You will be put in charge." It doesn't take away from the authority of Christ, but it emphasizes the authority of the apostles under him. In John chapter 14, verse 25, "These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I have spoken, I have taught you while I was here, and I'm going to send someone so that you will remember and be reminded of the things that I have already taught you." He continues, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. They're again emphasizing His authority comes from God. And the things He has been teaching them are things that were sent by God through Him. But telling them, you've already learned from me. And the things that you learn from me, it's important for you to be reminded of because there are more things that are coming that you need to know. In fact, in chapter 16, verse 12 and 13, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, I'm convinced that they could not bear these things yet because Jesus had not yet died and been raised. It took him dying and being raised again for them to get a better idea of what Jesus had been talking about in all of these times. To recognize that Jesus was talking not about a physical kingdom rescuing the Jews, but a spiritual kingdom that would rescue all mankind from the slavery of sin. It took the resurrection and the coming of the Spirit for them to grasp those truths. Jesus said, there's still a lot of things you need to know, but I can't tell you them now. You can't bear them now. But when the Spirit comes, you will be able to. In fact, if we go forward just a few more verses, he says in verse 16 of John chapter 14, I will ask the Father and He will give you another Helper to be with you forever. I think it's a reference to the inspiration that the apostles would have. That the Spirit would be sent to guide them in all things. When the Helper comes, we read in John 15. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. There again is that I'm sending you out to preach the gospel. And that's exactly what they did. They provided to the world the Word of God. Peter told the council in Acts chapter 4, verse 19 and 20, Peter and John, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And I hearken back to the words of John in 1 John that we read a short while ago. The things that we have seen and heard and experienced, these are the things we are teaching you. They gave us the Word of God. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 12, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Paul tells the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. We present to you what God has given to us. Not worldly thoughts, not my ideas, but what God has given to us. For as he told Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And it's always interesting to me, now that it dawned on me sometime in my late 20s, those Scriptures he's talking about are the Old Testament Scriptures. The things that God has given us through the ages train us for righteousness, for reproof, for correction. And the apostles used those scriptures just like Jesus used those scriptures and continued the story with the further things that they were given by Jesus and by the Spirit to tell us the story of God bringing salvation to man. It begins in the book of Genesis and it ends when all the words are compiled. All the inspiration has come. And it carries out through the ages as the Word of God to guide us in the way that we should walk through the authority that Jesus gave to the apostles. We have the Word of God. And they were not just their words. They were the words of the Spirit. Because they were empowered with the Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 49, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them as far as Bethany, lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." And I want to turn over to Acts chapter 1. I don't have this passage on the script, on the list, I don't think. But in Acts chapter 1, let's go ahead and start with verse 1. We'll read down through about verse 11. "In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" I'll stop there just a moment and remind you, this and the last few verses of Luke are talking about some of the same events. He's tying the two books together. But in verse 6, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were waiting on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem and waited until the power came." They were empowered from on high as they were instructed by Jesus. Up until this point, they still did not fully understand, but when they were empowered from on high, they had complete understanding and they went about preaching and teaching that message, that gospel. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Maybe I should have read the last verse of chapter 1 because that's where it says he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And they were all together in one place. They received the Holy Spirit. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised them. And that Holy Spirit told them what they needed to speak. And they stood up on that day of Pentecost following the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. and preach Jesus and Him crucified. They proclaim the gospel. They tied it back to the promises that were found in the Old Testament Scripture. They taught the Word of God. And they spoke it with authority. When the leaders of the Jews saw the boldness of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They spoke with authority. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. Paul said to the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers. Peter tells us, having purified our souls by our obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. God's word remains forever. If you noticed the yard when you came in, it looks nice, but it's brown. 3 weeks ago it was bright green. And some of us were thinking we're going to have to mow it about three times a week to keep it looking good. Now it's brown, it's withered, it's faded. You don't see the bright colors even in the flowers this time of year. Why? Because over time they fade. Peter says, God's Word is not like that. God's Word is still as powerful today as it was the day it was delivered. It has the same power to change the hearts and minds of men that it had on the day of Pentecost when Peter said, He has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And it cut the Jews to their heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's what you do. The same power today it had then. Why? Because it has been preserved through the ages by Jesus, by God and His work. Jesus promised that when the Spirit came, it would be a convicting force. John chapter 16 and verse 8, when He comes, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And John tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7, beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word you have heard. The message of God is the same today as it was in the days of James and John and Peter and Paul and Timothy and Matthew and Mark, Luke, whoever wrote for us the book of Hebrews, Jude. Jesus gave authority to the apostles, and their authority was to spread the Word of God. They were supported in that spreading of the Word. They were supported in that authority, not just by Jesus, who said, I'll be with you all the way to the end of the age, but also by the Holy Spirit, who inspired them, who gave them the words to speak. Peter said, no prophecy comes by the ideas of men. It's from God, through the Spirit. They spoke the Word of God. I don't know about you. That kind of tells me I ought to pay attention to them. I ought to listen to what they say. I have no right to come back and say, well, Paul's the only one that said that. I don't have to listen to that. Jesus didn't tell me that. Well, Peter didn't say that. Jesus said, if Peter said it, if we receive it, we receive Him. If we don't receive it, we don't receive Him. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I don't remember a lot of my English from school. But I do remember that when we have a statement like that, a conditional statement that says, if you do this, this will happen, that the other side of that is also true. If you don't do this, this will not happen. Do the will of God, and the peace of God will be with you. And we recognize that this is exactly what the first century Christians did. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It's always been a powerful statement to me. These people were only a couple of months out of hearing the word from Jesus Himself. But what they did here is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why? Because the apostles' teaching is Jesus' teaching. Just like Jesus' teaching is God's teaching. And if we receive the apostles' teaching, we receive Jesus' teaching, and we receive God's teaching. And the promises from God are entirely conditional upon us receiving His teaching as He's delivered it to us through the inspired apostles and writers of the New Testament Scriptures. The Word of God is preserved for us in a form that we can understand. I'm convinced that God has made sure that we have His Word, so that we can know what to do to remain pleasing in His sight. And if you will listen to that word, just like those Jews on the day of Pentecost listened to the words of Peter, if you will listen to that word today, you can receive the same promises that they received, the same promises that the apostles received, with the exception of the special promises of inspiration that they received. For that measure of the Spirit was for the purpose of establishing the authority of the apostles. And now that that's been established and they have left the Word of God for us, we have the Word to guide us and instruct us. God is not going to come to you in a still small voice in the middle of night and tell you something that's different from what His Word says. I can guarantee you that. Because His Word will never change. It's the same today as it was when Peter preached it on Pentecost some 2,000 years ago. Will you listen to the Word? Will you be obedient to it? Will you let it guide your life? If you look this morning and find that you have not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do so. Because without obedience to the gospel, without being added to the family of God, you are doomed to eternal destruction. The eternal fire and torture and torment that is hell. Heard that before, haven't you? We just studied about hell in our class with them last week. It's not a place I want to be in. It's not a place I want anybody else to be in. So become a child of God. It's not hard. Listen to the Word of God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be obedient to that Word. Confess your belief in Jesus and give yourself over to Him to do His will in all things. Turn away from serving self and the world, and you can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away. Buried with Him, raised with Him, with hope of being raised with Him in the end to go and be with God for all eternity. If you've taken those steps in the past and you look this morning and find you strayed from that straight and narrow path, it's not a just anything and everything. It's a here's the rules. I don't like to think about that, but it is. It's a here's the rules. Are you following down that straight and narrow way that leads to eternity? If not, come back. Come back to God. Turn back to Jesus again. Turn back to God and say, Lord, please forgive me for straying, for doing the things I've been doing. Please forgive me and take me back. And you know what John tells us? That when we do that, God will take us back. We may have taken and wasted everything God has given us until we were the point of eating the husk that were fed to the pigs. But we come to our senses and we turn back to God and we come back and He welcomes us with open arms. He's there waiting for us to return. He's not going to reach out and snatch us, but He's waiting for us to return. And ladies and gentlemen, your brethren, your sisters in Christ are waiting for your return as well. We're here to help in whatever way we possibly can. Whether it's further study to gain understanding, whether it's acknowledgement of sin before God as one of His children returning, or becoming a part of the family of God. We want to help you. Jesus paid the price. In fact, He did it all. Now, why don't you take advantage of what He has done? And if you're subject to invitation, won't you come while we stand and sing for encouragement?